Let's take a look on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph and the proof that the Gemara brings to support Rav Papi. Kavasi de Rav Papi Mistabra, Diomar Rav Yeshu Ben Levi Beis Knesses Mutal Asoso Beis HaMedrash. So Sfas Emes is Medayik here that maybe Rav Yeshu Ben Levi holds that they're equal Kedusha and that you can make a Beis HaMedrash into a Beis HaKnesses, in the reverse situation. And he wants to prove from here that you can only be Maila B'Kodesh, but in a Kedusha Shkula, that would be Osir. And therefore, you see from Rabbi Yeshua Levi that Kedusha's Beis HaMedrash is greater than that of a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. And therefore, we understand that from the fact that Rabbi Shimon Levi ruled that you're allowed to take a Beis HaKnesses and make it into a Beis HaMedrash, it must be that that's Milim B'Kodesh. That's bringing the Kedusha to a higher level. Then the Sfas Emes rejects this and he says the following, that it's very possible that the Gemara didn't want to say that Rabbi Shimon Levi is a new opinion that rejects all the other opinions. The Gemara is therefore medayik from the words of Rabbi Shimon Levi that Kedusha is based on Medrash's Adiv. But Rabbi Nutam and Chuin says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Bayis Shemegadam Bo Tefillah, what that means is that the Beis HaKnesses, which is called a Bayis Gadol, the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, is equal to that of the Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, the proof from Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi against Rabbi Yochanan is that they don't have an equal Kedusha. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who equates the Kedusha. But Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi argues that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Kedusha of Beis HaMedrash is greater. And therefore the proof is that you don't sell something in order to buy an equal Kedusha. In any event, the Gemara says that we're going to support Rav Papi based on the statement of Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. And Tosis writes that it would seem from here that Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan in a machlokas between the two, halacha ki Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Because the Gemara brings a pasuk, a raya from Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi to paskin like Rabbi Papi, even though Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi and holds that Bayis Kodol is a Bayis Shemagad Lebo Tefillah. That's what comes out from this Tosus here on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Divra Masel Kavasi. But Rabbi Nutam and Chulin that we mentioned earlier says there's no proof from here that we paskin like Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, because that which Rabbi Yochanan says, that Bayis Megal No Tefillah, what he means is that even in such a case, and how much more so in a place that's Megal Bo Torah. Notice the Chiddush is that Bayis Gadol includes even a Beis HaKnesses. And that's what the Gemara brings a proof from Rav Papa to Rav Papi, because in contrast, if you go according to Rav Papa, who says the Beis HaKnesses has a greater Kedusha than that of a Beis HaMedrash, then it comes out that Rav Papa is not like Rabbi Shimon Ben Levi, not like Rabbi Yochanan. He's out there on his own, so to speak. Now, the Pasuk says, Vayisrof is Beis Hashem, Ves Beis HaMelech, Ves Kol Bote Yerushalayim, Ves Kol Bayis Gadol Sarf B'Esh. So the Ben Yehoyada is Medayek. Why does it mention in this Pasuk a Bayis Gadol at the end? It would have made more sense, Lechora, to mention Bayis Gadol and then mention Beis HaMelech and Bate Yerushalayim. In other words, the Beis Hashem should be first on the list. And he says that since the Beis HaBayis Gadol is a place of Megadlin Bo Torah. Therefore, Lohoi Yochel is Sorfo. He couldn't burn it because the Esha Torah within this bias would somehow reject or repel the Esh Zorah of a Hejot, the foreign fire. But once he burnt the Beis HaMelech and Bat Yerushalayim, and there was no one left living in the city, at that point, the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash was Betela, and the Esh HaTorah was Batel. And at that point, he was able to burn the Beis HaMedrash. And if you hold that Bais Gadol is a Mokom Shemagadlo Bo Tefillah, then the tefillos have a certain power to be docha peronios, but only when it was in this batla shem tefillah, because he destroyed the rest of Yerushalayim, then the Eish was able to burn in the Bais Gadol. So the Gemara says the following: Chad mokom, chad omer mokom shemegad lemo Torah, v'chad omer mokom shemegad lemo tefillah. And the Ben Yoyada is wondering, I understand mokom shemegad lemo Torah. That's where there's pilpul, b'divrei Torah, the mechadish chidushim, new halachas, and you could say megadlim Torah. But when it comes to tefillah, what does it mean, gidul tefillah? That word, that term gidul, seems to be off base. And he answers that in a bias, which is not a Beis HaKnesses, where, let's say, for example, a yochid is mispalel, so he davens at home, but it's not a Beis HaKnesses. In a Beis HaKnesses, because it's tefillas rabim, and that's where the rabim daven, is misgadeles hatfilah. In other words, the tefillah is that much greater. So the gidul here is a relative term. Not that we raise, or that's where it exists, or so forth, or we develop something, but rather, this is greater than something else. So the Beis HaKnesses, insofar as it's dedicated for the Ravim, is greater than a Mokom Tfilas Yochid. And furthermore, in the case of a Tzibur that's davening with Chazor Sashat, Misgadel is HaTfilah. Why? Because now the Tfilah is times two. There's the Tfilas Lachash and the Tfilas Chazor Sashatz. And there's a great mile, of course, to Chazor Sashatz. The Gemara says, Man di omer Tfilah, Dichsiv, Saprna Gdolos, Asher Osa Elisha, Velisha di Ova Barachme, Hu di Ovad. Elisha accomplished his goal of a Tchias HaMesim through Tfilah. And the Chasam Sofer asks the following kasha. How does Rabbi Yochanan prove that Elisha achieved his goal through tefillah, koach ha-tefillah? And based on that, he explains that Bayis Gadol is Megadlo Bo Tefillah, which leads him to the conclusion that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is greater than that of a Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. Well, wait a second. We find that through Limud, Nasu Dvarim Kele V'Hichyu Anoshim, there were other occasions in which through Limud they were able to achieve even Hachyos Anoshim. And how does the Chasam Sofer know this? From a Gemara in Sanhedrin Samachei Amid Beis. It says there that they were Osek B'Sefer Yitzira, and they were able to create an Igla Tilsa. They were able to even create a Gavra. And the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us that Avud de Shmuel came to his house through a shame, Misham Nolad Shmuel. So it seems that there's some reality in which it's possible to create something. Gedolei HaChazal were able to create things and be Mechaye Mesim, so to speak. So how does Rabbi Yochanan know that the Gedulos that Elisha achieved was because of Koach HaTefillah? Maybe it was because of Koach HaTorah. And the Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Dover Gadol is considered a Maisa Merkava, Dover Katan is Havayis Dabai Virova. So Sam Sofer says that the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, Ein Mosrin also, El Lemishit Sanua Vi Anov. The Tosfos Rid writes there in Kiddushin in the name of the Yushalmi that if a person uses the shame, he shouldn't have any hanor from anybody. And Chazal tells in Brachos that a person wants to be Nene, he should be Nene like Elisha. So therefore, it cannot be that through the Koch HaTorah that Elisha achieved what he achieved, because what we need in the Koch HaTorah is Tznius and Anova. And therefore, the Tosfos Rid says, in the name of the Yushalmi, that you shouldn't have any benefit whatsoever. If you it's like kardam lachbar bo. And Rabbi Yochanan understood that Elisha was not using any shemos, because Elisha is shelo yehena mishum adam, and therefore it must be rachme atfila that was the medium through which he was mechayim mesim. And therefore, the bias gadol is the bias shemagadlim bo tefillah. Let me just mention something that he writes here in the Yalkut HaBiurim in the Masifta, that according to the Maskana, Rabbi Yochanan holds that tefillah is greater than Torah. And that seems to contradict another statement of Rabbi Yochanan in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph, that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his buddies, Chaverov, Torosom Nosom, ain't mafsikin l'tefillah, which seemed to indicate clearly that Torah is greater than tefillah. We could add Talmud Torah Keneged Kulon. So the answer that's suggested here is that tefillah has two dimensions to it. There's Shevach Takodesh Baruch and there's Bakoshes Tzrochov. So we have Shevach and Bakoshes, two dimensions of tefillah. When it says over there in the Gemara and Shabbos that they weren't mafsik from Torah for the sake of tefillah, that's only for Bakoshes Tzrochov. But as far as the tefillah shel Shevach is concerned, that's even greater than Torah, and that would be Docha Torah. Now the Sugya of Chaf Zayin raises the question, Ma'u Limkar Sefer Torah Yoshan Likach Bo Chadosh? Are you allowed to sell an older base Sefer Torah for the sake of buying a newer one? And it would seem that if the Chadosh would have been more beautiful than the Yoshan, then you would not be allowed to sell the Yoshan in order to buy it. In other words, the Gemara is sad to say that we don't sell a Yoshan in order to buy a new one. And that would seem to imply even if the new one is more Mahudar. And the Chasam Sofer actually writes in Yoredeya that even if the Sheni, if the second one, which he wants to buy was a new one, is Yafa Mahudar, since the Kedusha is not Me'ula, the Etzem HaKedusha is the same, whether it's a Yashan or a Chadash, and even if the Chadash is more Mehuda, nevertheless, they are on the same level of Kedusha, and therefore also L'mochro. You can't sell the old Sefer Torah to replace it with a new one. Now, there's a kasha here from the Shut Mar Sham, that's the Berzhana Rav, and he says the following. The Gemara at the end of Shabbos says, Zekeilim Yaveu Hisna Lefanav B'mitzvus. Asei Lefanav Sukkah Na, Lulav Na, Sefer Torah Na, Uksov Bo Lishmo, Bidyo Na. You have to write it Lishmo and Bidyo Don, and beautiful Dio. And that's how the Ram Paskins in Tzilcha Sefer Torah Perk Zayin, Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim Tov Reish Nun Vav. So anyway, it becomes clear that even Afiluim Kvar Kona Acherim, even if he bought other ones, Liachar Mikan, now he finds the one that's more beautiful, he's Mosif Ad Shlish. The whole sugya there is talking about Zekeil V'Aveu to add one third in order to be Mahadir the Mitzvah. So you add a third of the price to the first one in order to replace it to upgrade it with a more beautiful one. And it seems that even in the case of Sefer Torah, you're allowed to do so, even without being Malitz Kedusha, because again, all the Sifrei Torah have the same identical Kedusha. So you see clearly that you could sell an old one and buy a new one. So Bevadai, HaChodesh Mehuda V'Yofi Yosef and Yashim V'Kayim B'Zem Mitzvahs Zekeil V'Aveu. So why does our Gemara assume that in the case of Sefer Torah, there's an Issa to sell the Sefer Torah in order to buy a more beautiful one, and yet in other mitzvahs, for example, in Esrig Lulav, it would be the opposite, that he would actually be required, he'd be obligated to sell an esrog in order to buy a more beautiful esrog because of zekei l'miyamveyu. So the Marasham offers the following answer, that mitzvah zushal hisna l'fon of the mitzvahs, when we have this principle that make it more beautiful, that only applies in a case where by buying a mitzvah, you're mahadar it, and it becomes more beautiful, and lo yitzmach, we say, shum bizoyin l'kedusha, you're not in any way insulting kedusha. So then you mechuyiv l'sna of the mitzvah, so you go from one esrog to another, there's no insult, so to speak, you're not undermining any kedusha. But if as a result of hidur, there's going to be a bizoyin to kedusha because you're selling a sefer Torah which has kedusha to it, the greatest of kedushos, then you don't apply the principle of hisna of the mitzvah to get a more beautiful one because you're being gorem bizoyin to kedusha. And you have a Beis Knesses with Sifrei Torah, there are more Mahudarim, there are less Mahudarim. Do you have to read from a more Mahudar Sefer Torah because of Zekein V'Yamveyu? And he says, no, that would be a bizoyin to others for him, and therefore, because you never lain from a Sefer that's not Mahudar, therefore we don't apply the principle of Zekein V'Yamveyu in a case where you are you're being pogam, you're sort of undermining the kedusha, bizoyin kedusha. And then he writes, ubemaisa sherotza lisrabos kvod shamayim. If let's say he wants to be marba kvod shamayim, yifchas kvod shamayim, they grow us a bizoyin. Right? On the one hand, you want to be marba kvod shamayim, but you're going to also cause a diminishing of kvod shamayim. It's going to be a bizoyin. And therefore, if he has the Sefer Torah and he sells it in order to buy another one, which is more beautiful, he's being goreim bizoyon for the Kedusha Sefer Torah. He's being memayit bechvodo. Shemarach, he indicates that eino rotza lilmod bimen, that he doesn't want to use this Sefer Torah. And therefore, the din of zekei v'aveihu would not apply in such a case. Boketukha. So let's just finish this last thing up so we can get back to the Gemara that we want to start today. And we'll say the following. That in a case of other mitzvahs, like lulav and tzitzis, that don't have kedusha, it's only tashmishei mitzvah, he's allowed to sell them and buy a more beautiful one as long as he hasn't done the mitzvah yet, doesn't have kedusha. Or, for example, after he finishes the mitzvah. Right, but there's no horadus kedusha if he's not going to use it at all, and therefore he'd have to sell it to buy more behudah. Now, if on the other hand he's using it now for a mitzvah, that might be a different story. Then at toch kedei the mitzvah, it has kedusha. But in the case of sefer Torah, even if the sefer Torah is in the Aron Kodesh, and even if you have the chadash, you know, you have the newer sefer Torah available for you. So nevertheless, if you opt to give first choice to the sefer Torah that's new, then you might be insulting the kedusha of the old sefer Torah. Okay then, so let's get started, and I'll just make a note here where I got up to, and we'll see where we can start. Okay, so we're here on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, almost towards the end of the Amud. And you'll see in the last section of the lines that go very wide, at the bottom, the second line, Sha'olu. So he says the following. This whole sugya is about people who, Baruch Hashem, some of the giants in Torah, live to an old age. And the question is, why they live to an old age? What schus did they have? You familiar with this?
No, I never thought that Gemara actually dealt with
it. Yeah, it's unreal. Longevity. Exactly. What's the secret? What's the key? Shalu Talmidim has Rav Zakai. So they asked Rav Zakai, but Herach the Yomim. Apparently he lived to a pretty old age. We're not sure exactly how long, but... So he says, Omar, miyomai lo ishtanti mayim betoch arba'amah shal tefillah. So if you recall, the Gemara came to the conclusion that in a Beis HaKnesses, there are certain prohibitions that are generated by Bizoyan Beis HaKnesses. But if it's not designated B'kvius for tefillah, you daven in a certain place, you know, just temporarily, so that doesn't engender any kedusha to that makom, and therefore you'd be allowed to urinate in that place. But Rav Zakkai was machmer on himself, and he wouldn't urinate in that place. He would wait a certain period of time, which is called Kidei Hiluch Arba Amos, and that was a chumrah, that was a special measure of piety. Number two, he says, furthermore, lo kinisi shem lechaverai, I would not call my friend by some sort of a nickname. Some say even if it wasn't a gnai, even if it wasn't an insult, but it's a nickname. And by the way, you know, people give nicknames, and, you know, it's not such an easy thing. Sometimes you have a child, and they come up with the funniest, again, because something happened or whatever, they call him Pitsy, they call him this, they call him that. And people sometimes suffer their whole life because of a nickname you gave them in their childhood. So you have to be careful about nicknames. Number three, he says, Lo bidalti kiddush hayom. And the Gemara is going to tell a story. He was so makpid. We had a discussion yesterday about whether this is Friday night or even Shabbos in the day. Let's assume it's Friday night. That's what we found over there. And imas keno isalo pam achas machra kippa shevarosha mevili lekiddush hayom. She sold the kerchief on her head in order to guarantee that her son Rav Zakkai would have wine for kiddush. And tonik shemesa. When she died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave a certain reward, a bracha, to Rav Zakkai, which he passed on to his children. And he nichalo sholosh meos garbe yayin, a tremendous volume of wine. And when he died, Rav Zakkai, he left for his children shloshes alofim garbe yayin, even 10 times that amount. Now is a story about Rav Huna and Rav. So that we did yesterday. Let's just fast forward to the Gemara for today. Okay, that was about the bracha of Rav. Okay. Then we had the discussion, the dialogue with Rav Elazar ben Shammua, because he also lived to an older age. And he said that he never used the Beis HaKnesses as a shortcut. And he would never walk in and try to squeeze through the Talmidim, you know, go by them. So what we're up to for today is Sholu Talmidim Es Rabbi Preda. So let's see if we all have the place. If we're counting from the bottom of the Amud, it's really the very last line on Chavzayin Amud Beis. So Rabbi Preda also apparently lived to an older age. So they asked him, Bameh Rachta Yom, what was your special schus? He was a tremendous masmid. He would turn on the lights in the Beis HaMedrash, and he would always be the first one there. You know, no one could get there earlier than him. Now Tosis asks a question with which I give myself a pat on the back. I also came up with the same question. Let's take a look at Sha'alu. Kasha, Adraba, Hoya Bizchus. Tosa says, I'll give you, there's a question about whether you have the word Adraba here or not. Just leave out the word Adraba. He says that logically, based on a Gemara in Erevin, I would come to a different conclusion. You know why Repredu was great? Hayeshona l'talmid echad arbamios zimni. Yeah, do you remember this?
Yes.
This is a very famous Gemara about Rabbi Preda. In fact, if you would have woken me up in the middle of the night and said Rabbi Preda to me, this is the first thing I would associate with. This is he had a child who couldn't understand the Torah, and he repeated it 400 times until the student finally chap what was going on. Could you imagine such a patience? Now again, is 400 a hagzama? Does it mean literally 400? I don't know, but it says 400. That's what it says. So Tosa says, l'chora, that would be the explanation for why he lived to an older period, an older age, longevity. And in fact, the Baskols came out and declared, Nolech delizke kule dori lialma. He says, as a result of this effort that you put in, then you should be zocha to drei out lialma. You should live, you know, for not only in this world but in the next world, and so forth and so on. V'yeshlomo de mikarlo yodakein ad levasof sherosh achaya kol kach.
Maybe that doesn't. Maybe that didn't give him the long years. That just that gave him olam haba, not.
Oh, maybe.
Long years in this world.
So I wanted to read to you. Let's see if I can find it now. And if I don't find it immediately, we'll just go on, because we have a lot to do today. Let me see if I can find this. Yeah. He says the following. That Yom Echad Bikshu es Rabbi Preda Lidvar Mitzvah. One time they called upon Rabbi Preda for the sake of a mitzvah. We don't know exactly what mitzvah. He had to achieve some sort of mitzvah. But Kevan Shahaya Bidaito Shel HaTalmid Kol Shah. In other words, since he was focused on this Talmud constantly, you know, to try to build him up, is the Ato Misayim Rav Papa Shir Imo V'Holich LeMitzvah. He decided that it's only when he finished with this Talmud, and he was guaranteed that the Talmud understood, only then would he go to the mitzvah. Ulekach, and therefore, Af Achar Arbamios Pam Kshirah Bar Pei Marmelo Ato Tein Datcha V'Achzel L'Chashuv. Wow. The Gemara says that it wasn't just 400 times that he reviewed it, it was 800 times. Even at the end of the 400th time, he still didn't chapit, so he went over it another 400 times. V'nafka baskel v'omra, and a baskel came out and declared, Eze schar ata bocher avur masa zeh. In other words, the baskel gave Rabbi Preda two options of reward. Choose your reward. One option is nolech the lizki kuli dori lialma diyosi. Ha'im ritzoncha sheyizku kol b'nei dorecha bi'olam haba. You have the right to guarantee that all the members of your generation will somehow enter into the next world. It doesn't say how long you'll last there, but at least you'll enter in. That's one choice.
No, if you're in, you're in. You last, that's for sure. You don't come back.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then it's a group thing. So
it's like getting into medical school. You know, once you're in, they let you stay. Oh, the litchi dalid meo shana. Oh, shetichya arba meo shana. I don't know why arba meo shana. Why not shmona meo shana? Okay, arba meo shana. Omar Rabbi Preda, she wrote that she is who called b'nei doro li alma diasi. So he didn't choose for himself, he chose for the members of his generation. And therefore, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavi Lehova Ha. Let's give him both brachos. So it would seem that once he heard explicitly that he'll be living for 400 years for this Maisa, so why did he respond when they asked him, why did you live a long time? And he says, because I came early to the Beis HaMedrash. See, Shlomo Zetosis answers, May Karolo Yada came. B'tchilu lo yada, the Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, diyitnu lo shnehem. Elohaya sovar, diniskablu bakashosol v'nei doro yizkel yolam haba, v'lo le'inya shehu yarech b'yomim. So when they asked him, he wasn't yet 400 years old, so he thought that it couldn't be that there was a double blessing, because he only asked for one blessing. L'kach tol arichas yomim b'dvar macherim. Oh, ad shele basov, sheroa shechaya kol kach. When he later on in life, when he became his 400th birthday party, then he understood that Hashem gave him both brachos.
Oh, because you don't know until you're there. Exactly.
Right. Could you imagine blowing out 400 candles? So now we're on Daf Chav Ches, big cake.
Daf Chav Ches. Who would you celebrate with? You know, like. I had a late great uncle. He used to say he was 95. He says, all my friends are dead.
Right, that's it. Yeah.
nobody.
No, there may have been a lot of people at his birth at his birthday party, but there was no one from his youth. That I can guarantee. Okay. What else does Rabbi pray to claim as his flagstaff? V'lo beirachti lifnei kohen. Now, what's the chiddush here? There's a mitzvah of v'kidashto that you have to give kohen the first divs. Apparently, Rabbi Prater was not a kohen, but the answer is that's what Tosus says over here that he was a great Talmud Chacham, and therefore they would offer him the kavod. We've discussed this in the past that technically the first aliyah doesn't necessarily have to go to a kohen; it could go to a Talmud Chacham. Okay, our minig is not like that. Lo achalti mebehema shelo hurmu matnoseha. Okay, for those who are learning Daf Yomi, I'm not learning Daf Yomi. This is the perek that they're learning in Chula now, called Zroh L'Chayayim V'Keva. These are Matnas Kahuna. And he would only eat from the behema after they took off the Zroh L'Chayayim V'Keva. Now, this is interesting, because technically, although there's a mitzvah saseh, that whenever you shecht an animal which is kosher, you have to give the kohen zroh l'chayayim v'keva, and that's based on a pasuk in Dvarim, v'zeyem mishpat ha-kohen me'eis ha'om me'zovchei ha-zevach im sharem seh v'nasan la-kohen ha-zroh l'chayayim v'keva. But nevertheless, there's no din of tevel. No, it's in truma, there's a din of tevel that you're not allowed to eat before hafroshes true, but in zroh l'chayayim v'keva you could eat the behema, and then at the end you could separate the zroh l'chayayim v'keva. He was machmir on himself that he considered as if it had a din of tevel, and he would not eat from the behema until he was guaranteed that they separated the zroh l'chayayim v'keva. Tiomer Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Rabbi Yochanan Osur lechol mebehema shel ahur mumat nosel, that they made an isa drabbanon, but again it could be the Rabbi Prater was before they enacted the isa drabbanon. That in order to make sure that no one would miss up on this mitzvah of hafrashas zroh l'chayayim v'keva, they said don't eat from the behema. V'yomer Rabbi Yitzchak al ochel v'behema shel ahur matnosel kilu ochel tvolin. Notice the rabbanon made it as if he ate tevel. And less hilchaso kavase. So in other words, even though it seems that Rabbi Yitzchak tried to enact a drabbanon, prohibiting eating from the behema before the afroshas matnas kuhuna, but nevertheless, that was never enacted. That was never actually formally accepted. When they had to vote in the Sanhedrin, they never accepted it. So at the end of the day, Mimonav Shach Rabbi Preidu was machmir. Either he's machmir before they made this attempt to institute this Isser, or they never succeeded in instituting this Isser, and he was machmir on himself as if this Isser came into effect when it really didn't come into effect. So now the Gemara goes out back to what Rabbi Preda said here on the top of the Amud, Lo beirachti lifnei kohen. Right? It seems that as an absolute rule, without any exception, unqualified, he would never take the bracha, the first bracha. He would never, let's say, take the bench. Back, today, when we say you bench, it really means just say Havla Nevarech. You lead us and invite us to recite the Birkas Hamazon. But back in the day, if they were mechabed you with benching, you actually were the one who recited the whole bracha. So the question is, if in all cases that's what he did, L'meimer d'mal yusahi, is that really something that you want to boast about? Va'amar Rav Yochanan kol tamid chachan shem mevarech lefanov afilu kohen gadol amaretz also tamid chachan chayev misa. In other words, even though kvod tamid chacham is really your own kavod, and I'll prove it to you, the Gemara concludes in Kiddush that you're allowed to be mochel on your kavod, nevertheless, if it's a public activity, and it's a matter of kavod haTorah, it's not just a matter of your personal kavod, but the kavod haTorah is at stake. That's where Rabbi Yochanan is going to derive from a pasuk. Then there's no room for mechila over here. I mean, he can be mochel technically, but it's not at all admirable for the Talmud Chacham to step aside. And he shouldn't step aside even for the Kohen Gadol himself, because the Kohen Gadol is an Amoretz. So the Gemara right now assumes that Rav Preda, on all occasions, no matter who is the Kohen, even if he was a Kohen Amoretz, he would still step aside, Rav Preda, in order to be Mechabi the Kohen. And now we have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which seems to say that that's not a good idea. That's not something that we want to do. Shenemar, because of the Pasuk, okay, we'll read the Pasuk itself. It's a Pasuk in Mishle. It says, Kol Mesanei Avu Moves. Mabachote Chamas Nafsho Kol Mesanei Avu Moves. Al Tikri Mesanei Ella Masnie. In other words, those who cause people to look down on a Talmud Chacham. In other words, if a Talmud Chacham gives first dibs to the Amoretz, then people come, so again, if you take this Gemara literally, to hate him. Hate him means to lower his respect in their eyes. He writes here the following: Haroa Talmud Chacham Shafel. Right? He's, so to speak, humiliated in front of an Amoretz. Omer, he declares, you know what, there's something not so great about his Torah, you know, and we don't have to respect his Torah. So the Gemara answers, Kikomar Iu, and Rabbi Preda said that I never took the honor for myself, I always gave it to the Kohen, that's Beshavin. That's where the Kohen himself was the Talmud Chacham. Again, the Mefarshim explained that Rabbi, what was the greatness of Rabbi Preda? He was a greater Talmud Chacham than that Kohen. But in this case, although according to the strict letter of the law, since he was a greater Talmud Chacham, he could have taken the honor, but he stepped aside for the sake of the Kohen who was a Talmud Chacham. Had he stepped aside for a Kohen who was an Amoretz, that would be a violation of Rabbi Yochanan's principle. Shalu Talmid of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akone, v'meh herachta yomim, omolehem yomai lo niskabarati beklon chaveri. In other words, if a person takes an honor, then sometimes another individual is embarrassed by that. But again, you have to be very, you know, insightful. You have to have a real reliable sense of intuition to realize that somebody else, because he's left out, will be hurt by it. He'll have a sensitivity about it. And Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona, you know, takes pride in himself that he was always very sensitive. He did not agree to accept a kavod if somebody else would feel humiliated by it. Okay, that's number one. So it's very interesting, Rabosai. If you take a look at the whole sugya from beginning to the end, it's 90% of it, I should say, not all of it. The exception maybe would be Rabbi Zakkai, but the rest of it is pretty much, like, for example, you take the ethics here of Rabbi Preda, right? That he could have actually taken the honor for himself, but he didn't want to do so. And here also, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akona. So let's divide, you know, what the mitzvahs are. Beinonim l'mokah, beinonim l'chaveru. So what grants you longevity? What the blessing of, what kind of merit do you have? Are we talking about beinonim l'mokah, beinonim l'chaveru? So let's go over from the top. Rav Zakkai is talking about tefillah. So that I would say is a classic case of beinonim l'mokah, is it not?
He also has the nickname.
Oh, then he goes into ethics and he says, Lo kinisi shem l'chaverai. Then he goes back into ritual law and he was very machpin on yain for kiddush. Then we go to the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. That seems more ethical. Right? Okay, the whole business about the bracha with Nesis Kapayim, that's a whole...
Well, the synagogue as a shortcut is that that's given kavod to the...
To the Beis HaKnesses, that again would
that's
ritual law.
That's ritual. So,
right.
So ethics would be the middle one, though.
The lo pasati al roshi yam kadosh. So there's a very interesting integration here of both bein adam l'makom and bein adam l'chaveru. And the reason I mention this to you, I'm just thinking out loud, you know, musings of a madman maybe, but what's the difference between our sugya here in Megillah and an entire Masechta in Mishnah of Mishnah. What Masechta of Mishnah do I have? I mean, there's no Gemara on it, but there's Mishnah. Avos, right? Now Pirkei Avos is all based on the following three words: Hu Haya Omer. Now I understand. Again, I'm not telling you to agree with me, but I understand that the essence of Avos is that each Tana had his teaching. What do I mean by his teaching? This was, in his perspective, this was the top priority. You know,
the reason to be, the way to live your life. And
right, in what you call a priority of values,
right.
He would tell you what is his priority. And if I'm not mistaken, again, if anybody has Pirkei Avos, we can take some time and open it up. But it's all about ethics. So I'm wondering to myself, you know, is there some fundamental difference here between Pirkei Avos and this sugya? In other words, there's A and B, and I'm wondering if they're equal. A says, I'm going to tell you what I think is should be your primary principle in life. You know, this is where you give your priorities. This is my ethical value system. It's on top of it. That's one. That's A. And B is, why did I merit living a long life? So, for example, if Rav Zakkai, let's say, I'm just giving one example, if he would have appeared in Avos, I don't think that Rav Zakkai does appear in Avos, but if he would be, he would have said, Hu Haya Omer, Lola Hashtin, you know, Dalet Amos. I have an inkling, an idea, but if you could help me develop it, I think what's going on over here is, and again, this requires a tremendous amount of work. If I'm correct, just a hypothesis that there's certain bounds in the halacha. Where the halacha takes a minimalist approach, but allows for the flexibility. I'm pointing to my belt, you know, where you can expand, you know, to expand, you know, and if you expand, then it's meaningful, you know. It's not, I don't know. For example, I'm giving an example. Uh-huh. Don't hold me to this, but I don't know if a person wants to eat more than a kezias of matzah on the night of Pesach. I don't know if he gets brownie points for that. I don't know. Think about it. You can decide for yourself. My intuition tells me, eat a kezias, and that's it. You want to eat more matzah? That's matzah shel reshus. It doesn't have any... What I think this whole sugya of Amer after Yomim is that although the Torah, the halacha requires, you know, X, and these are your bounds, but kol mosif mosifim lo.
Right.
Like it's like sipritzis mitzrayim as opposed to matzah. It doesn't say kol amar v'lechol matzah areza meshuvah, but it says kol amar v'lesapritzis. So if a person would say b'mer after yomim, because every Pesach night, every Seder night, I was marich in sipritzis mitzrayim. To me, that would be a meaningful statement, and you know what requires.
Right. Everyone goes to the Haggadah. And if you go through the Haggadah, you're Yotzi, it's Sipur Yitzchak.
Correct, you read the Haggadah, the standard text.
So we say, as the statements that you just said, Hari Zeh Meshubach.
Right.
It's Meshubach, okay, but you're no more Yotzi. Then
so that's why I would think that the Hari Zeh Meshubach means that you're expanding the Kiyumah Mitzvah.
Now,
it's right, not like matzah. Matzah, we're never going to say that by expanding your matzah. Again, right. I'm not sure if I'm right, but
yeah, no, you're making...
So, Pirkei Avos, they build upon each other. I don't think any of them are saying this is the only principle. I think each one who comes later is saying, okay, everything before me, and this is one that I also focused on. And
but then Eric, you have to assume something historical. I don't know. You know, you might have to prove that thesis. You know, in the mission.
Well,
no, I'm not sure.
I mean, so they say this one came. I mean, they, for the first several, it is one came after the other came after, and then they each had their teaching. So you assume that they learned.
Right, but I'm not sure if you can take that straight through Masechta. But anyway, let me not stop you in the middle.
Right. Maybe these are after Pirkei Avos because, you know, one would think that they're not thinking that, you know, not reciting Birkat HaMazon in front of other Kohanim is, you know, more important than the things that, you know, what Hillel said. You know, these are things that are definitely adding to the realm of how to live, and they're things that they were machmir on, that I think is expanding, but all of them, you know, I'd have to look, but all of them in some way have some aspect of they all seem to have some aspect of humility to them. So they all seem to be, you know, lower in some way.
Now you want to say that this whole sugi is about humility?
You could.
You can have trouble with Kiddush Aliyah. I don't know about Kiddush Aliyah, but yeah, some of them definitely.
Kiddush Aliyah, that one maybe not, but.
Well, getting up early to the Beis HaMedrash, I'm not sure if that's exactly humility.
Well, you could, in some way it is, because you're going there first. You're not claiming to be
a king, you know, who sleeps for 3 hours or so. Right.
No, but as the Rav said, like every, in Pirkei Avos, there's like these, and the word is sismaot, the people live for their times. Even there was the late Rabbi Ginsburg, who was the Rav of the Rosh Hashiva of Neir Yisrael in Toronto. Okay, you met him, you know, he would come by and say, you know, if you reach for the stars, you don't end up with mud. Is there anything halakhic with that? Is it a Maisa Chazal? Is it anything? But it's like a sisma he would give to people, an eitz to give people. So, you know, Torah im derech eretz. So everyone went out to work. Oh, I feel good. I can go to work today. You know, and I'm learning Torah. So, in other words, people, the chachamim, these were things.
Right.
These are ways of living, of bringing meaning to your life. You know, it puts all of Chazal into kind of your pocket, and you can live your life with purpose.
So again, all these, what seems to be the underlying rule here is that they expanded and they had a kiyum of mitzvah beyond the letter of the law. They loved the mitzvahs, they loved ethics, they loved Bein Adam L'Chaver, they loved certain mitzvahs, like you say, humility. But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, this would be a wonderful research project. We don't have the time to do this. I wish we did. What exactly is each one of these Tanoim, you know, or we'll see later on Moroim, what exactly are they telling us? You know, okay, it's a very nice thing that you didn't eat from a behemoth until after the Zrol HaChayim was this, or you didn't, you know, pardon the expression, you didn't urinate in, you know, within a certain period of time after Davin, you know. So therefore what? You know, what am I supposed to take out of that? You know, I'm Burzon, I'm learning this sugya. I want to be uplifted by this sugya. You know, so if you tell me something like, you know, like he was careful not to insult someone, okay, so he went beyond the letter of the law in ethics, that I can understand. And then my second question is, would this be the same pattern as Hu Haya Omer? If Rabbi X is claiming that I'll pinpoint exactly what my great merit is or what my merits are, you know, and list them, and that's why I achieved longevity, is that the same as saying Hu Haya Omer? That this is what, if you want to imitate me, if you want to learn from me, right? Imitatio Deo, but here it's Imitatio Chacham. This is what I think you should learn from me. Right. You know, is that what's going on? Right. I don't know.
I mean, at some point, you have to go back and look at Pirkei Avos, but a lot of, certainly the first many of them are really big principles. Like they're big override, you know, you could live your life according to this, you know, one of these principles.
Right.
Here, most of these seem very specific. So it seems like they're expanding, they're adding on, but they're fairly specific. Except the Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, his seem to be a bit bigger in some way.
Right. Let's pick up from there. By the way, this fell on the floor. And I don't know if by chance in a million you or anyone you know. No, this is not a problem. I want you to know this was even before it fell on the floor. That this just covers the thing. The batteries are very well charged, but I can't get it to turn on. It got a maca. It fell right here where my foot is on the floor. So if by chance, you know.
Let me throw it again. Maybe it'll wait. Oh.
There you go. It's playing.
It's playing. So how do you get it to record? In other words, normally when I record it, I push the
screen down. Went. The screen went. It's working, but the screen went.
The screen died on me. Yeah. Is that it? Because this... So, like, how do I know without a screen? No. Should I just bury this? I bought this in Canada a decade ago for 75 Canadian dollars. It lasted me for 10 years.
You're going to America next week? Treat yourself.
Yeah. So I should just forget it? I mean, there's no way of getting the screen back on.
By the way,
you can get a voice recording app on the phone.
Yeah, no, I'm trying. As we speak, I'm trying to record. I'm hoping it's recording.
Oh.
So I'm hoping, but again, it's much more complicated.